That ain't going to get me to the place I need to go.
Let's start over here.
14A1.
Yeah, so now, yesterday we ended off with the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, which is today's whole Gemara is about. Rabbi Yochanan said that the share was quantitative. Just to make sure this is clear, okay? Quantitative. So, if I have two ingredients, one is Arla and one is Chulin, and it causes an increase in the value, because we're talking about pinyon meiser sheni now. So now, how much do I have to pay? If I have plain meiser sheni, it's clear. So how much is the meiser sheni worth? It's worth $5? It costs me $5 to be part of it. But if I have a taruvus, and part of that taruvus is chulin, and the chulin contributed to the increase in the value that I have in front of me, so now I have to start deciding, how do you do this, you know? So it was worth $3 before of meiser sheni. I have $1 of chulin that I added to this mixture. Now together it's worth $5. So I have $4 of ingredients. The total value is $5. So now here is where we could say gula fi cheshbon. Since the meiser sheni was $3. Wait, what happened over here?
$3.
What's something happened over here? Just 1 second. Everything's going haywire over here. I don't know what just happened.
Yeah,
just 1 second.
Quarters and a quarter, so.
Hold on, sorry. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so you have three quarters of it is meiser sheni. One quarter is chulin. So when you come to redeem it, you're going to take three-quarters of the total value, three-quarters of whatever three-quarters of five is.
And three-and-three-quarters.
Three-and-three-quarters. And the other one will be whatever. I don't care about the other one. I'm only being paid to the meiser sheni, right? Right, so that, okay, so now...
Is there something wrong with just being paid with five and spending five usually?
You don't have five.
Well... You could, but it's like I give people shliach mitzvah money and I tell them they can buy pizza with it. It's not mitzvah. You know,
you give more money. You say the bracha.
What's that?
You got to give more money.
No, in other words, if you're going to take that $5 and buy, so you, three quarters of it will be meiser sheni and the other part will be chulin. Nothing wrong with eating chulin in Yerushalayim, isn't that?
Fine.
No problem. I'm just telling you it's precise because the Ge'ah Halachas, right? Because the Meiser Sheni has to be eaten a certain way. So that is Nageya. You'll be able to eat Betumo and Be'oni, Rahman al-Tzlan, right, Bar Minon, and other things which for the Chulin, which you won't be able to do with Meiser Sheni. Okay. So. Now, hold just 1 second. So now we're coming to the Machlokes of Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says that how do you determine whether something is lefi cheshbon or whether it's hakol l'sheni? Hakol l'sheni means that I'm going to look at the whole value, whatever's here, and say, well, the whole thing is meiser sheni. So the whole $5, it's meiser sheni. How do I make that determination? So sometimes if I would put in like a little spice, so the volume, the spice is the spice might increase the value of the taruvus. Like let's suppose you sell a salt-free challah. I wouldn't pay 10 cents for a salt-free challah. But let's suppose a salt-free challah is worth $3. You put a little salt in there, now it has taste, it's worth $5. Rabbi Yochanan says, hakol l'sheni. Because the volume of what I have didn't change. In other words, the fact that the mashu, of course, if you go and look at it, that's not called volume change. Volume change means something which is nicker. So a little salt is not going to make a change. So it's got to be quantitative, quantity. Rish Lakish disagrees. Rish Lakish says no, it's quality. Since it's nicker, the taste of the salt, it made it whole. And that's what made it worth more. It's going to be lefi cheshbon. So you have you have to think about what they're saying. It's just words if you don't speak this out. Okay? So Rabbi Yochanan says you're going according to quantity And according to Rish Lakish, it's the quality. It's whether it contributed to a change in the taste. If it contributed to a change in the taste, then it's not Hakol L'Sheni.
It's not what?
You don't say Hakol L'Sheni if there is a change because of the Chulin Shabo in the taste.
So, but there's got to be a different formula to figure that out.
It's value. It's value.
Oh, it's just the value.
It's value. So if the salt, if the salt was worth a dollar, I'm just giving an example. We'll just replace the value to make it easy math wise. Okay.
Oh, it's not the quality, the cost of the.
Which thing are we valuing? Is it the cost of the salt or the change in the value of the product?
It's both. We have to figure both because the cost. I see what you're saying. You're asking a good question. You're saying that you're saying, am I looking at the quantity of the chulin or am I looking at the value of the chulin? Again, all his examples he uses values. So the chulin was worth a dollar, and the Mitzvah Sheni was worth $3, you know, or vice versa. He doesn't have it that there was 3 ounces of Mitzvah Sheni and 1 ounce of chulin. He doesn't give it that way. He's always giving value. So let's just use dollar values for now. If it's other than that, I don't know.
We're not looking at the net change of the value of the whole product.
And then we'll look at the net change of the value of the whole product. That's where it becomes negeya. If you're going lefi cheshbon, it becomes negeya. If it's hakolim,
because unbaked something is not worth as much as a baked thing. A couple of apples when you make an apple cake.
Right, but
so
if you baked it with the salt or without the salt, there's a difference in the value.
Right.
Here's a real example. Let's say onion challah.
Yes.
You know, you go to the bakery and one without the onion will cost you less if you buy the one with the onions.
With onions, correct. And is onions considered adding to the volume? One could say possibly no. You know, it's just not significant. Just sprinkling a little onion powder or a couple of dried out onions on top of it's not significant. So now we're going to go through a whole bunch of examples where we're going to ask a bunch of questions on Rabbi Yochanan. Then we're going to ask a bunch of questions on Rish Lakish. And then the Gemara will end with a question on both. And that's today's daf, okay? So now we're going to start. Hi, Stewie. Masnisa pligo a Rabbi Yochanan. The Mishnah is arguing on Rabbi Yochanan. That's our gear. So forget about the English changes it to Rish Lakish. We're going to learn it with the original gear of Rabbi Yochanan because it's a lot easier to understand the Gemara that way. First of all, the whole line of the first questions are all on Rabbi Yochanan. Therefore, I prefer to use the Mahalach of those who learn it this way. Okay?
Somebody translates it to Rish Lakish?
The English prefers Rish Lakish, but it's a lot easier to read with Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? The Hebrew does also good.
No, Rish Lakish, not Rabbi Yochanan.
Okay, it's in parentheses, and it's like the Vilna Gaon is the one that changes it, I think. Yeah, if you look at Likut Mishnos Elyo, you'll see Masnisa Pligo Arab Yochanan. You see that? Likut Mishnos Elyo? Yeah. And you also see it in the bottom. In the Bir Hagro, Masisa Pligo a Reb Yochanan, Dogim Shem Spashlim Kaplot Shem Ma'aseh Shina Hashem Aklav Hichesh. So now we have this case. That's the next one. It's Isa Shem Ma'aseh Shini Shafoya Pas VeHishbicha Hashem Aklav Shini. So the way they're learning the Kash is like this. The Mishnah says, okay, the Mishnah says a case. You have dough that you baked in an oven, right? And the Eitzim were obviously chulin, right? So the Eitzim contributed to the the Gemara is now making a very big leap here. This is, you have to buy into this, that it increased the volume of the bread because the bread was, you know, caused it to rise. So you have an increase in the volume of your output on the basis of caused by the chulin. So the question is, you, Rabbi Yochanan, who go after volume, quantity, why does it say Hakol L'Sheni that you don't reckon with the Shrach Eitzim? It caused it to go up in volume. That's the kasha of the Gemara according to Rabbi Yochanan. Wow. Very Very creative question.
Indirect.
Yeah. And the Gemara answers, Pasal of Sha'in Tam Shilchai Nikar. They have to learn, it's a little bit shvera, the Lashon, but what they're learning is, we're talking about a case where it was a baked matzah. It didn't go up. You put it in as a flat sheet, and it came out as a flat sheet. So, but if it would have taken, gone up and changed, according to this Mahalach of the Gra and others, then it would have taken, it would have been a shvach, you would have to make a cheshmet.
You're saying the volume did not change?
That's, we're talking about a case where the volume did not change. Correct.
What about the taste?
Taste is not, there's no taste here. There's no taste of wood. I mean, this is not like, caskets, which put a taste into our...
Or does it?
Or what?
Or does it?
Or does it? I mean, does the wood make a taste in the bread? I don't know. The Gemara is assuming that if there is a taste in the bread, it's insignificant. All right? That's the kasha. That's enteritz, according to the Vilna Gaon. Okay, Masisa Pligar Rabbi Yochanan. Next question.
I don't understand. What I have here says, the Gemara answers, Pasal Shein Tam Shivchon Nikar. Is that talking about taste, not volume?
Yeah. So that's part of the problem. They point out that the Girsa is really not really accurate according to this Mahalach. It should have just said, Ein Shivchon Nikar, not Tam. Kind of like, ignore the word, erase the word Tam. There are difficulties. Either way, there's difficulties.
Okay.
That's the Mahalach that they're learning. You're absolutely right. That's going to be difficult. The way we're learning the Pshat, that word Tom doesn't really belong there. Okay. Masnisa Pligar Rabbi Yochanan. Another question. It says, what if you have fish that are made with what? Leeks. So the appreciation is proportionate. Now, why is it proportionate? The volume of the Meiser Sheni, we're talking about Meiser Sheni leeks. The volume of the Meiser Sheni leeks did not change because they were made with fish. They're exactly the same volume. It's just taste that has gone from the fish into the leeks and from the leeks into the fish, whatever, however we're going to learn now, right? So.
What are we saying? We're saying the taste of the fish is going into the leeks? Or the taste of the leeks?
It's going both ways. I would say it goes both ways. I mean, let's face it. You are going to taste fish in the leeks, and you're going to taste leeks in the fish. It's going both ways,
yeah.
Right?
But there's no difference in the volume.
But there's no difference in volume. So why is it lefi cheshbon? That's the question on Rabbi Yochanan, right? So you have to. This is one of the more difficult questions on the daf. So number four, it says. At this point, the Gemara understands that the leeks were separated from the fish after they were cooked together. This is important. The Mishnah teaches that the Meiser Sheni leeks do not have to be redeemed for their full price. You got this? This is very interesting. Till now, we've been talking about this as a whole entity, as a one whole food. Here, we're breaking it apart, and we're... Afal Pikein, we're saying, you're going to have to redeem it, Lefi Cheshbon, which is not what I was expecting. This is a big Kiddush over here. So you're going to separate out the leeks from the fish. And now, since some of the tam of the leeks are in the fish, you're going to it's going to change the price of the redemption of the leeks now. It's unbelievable. Now, understand something over here.
What's the Meiser Sheni?
The Meiser Sheni is the leeks.
Oh.
You want to redeem the leeks. Before they were worth three, now they're worth proportion. Let's say they're still worth three, but part of it of that three is fish, and part of the three now is in the fish side too. Now the fish side, just want to say this first before we go to the leek side. The fish side, all you have is Tom Meiser Sheni, and the rule is. You cannot be Poda Tom alone. It's not redeemable. The only thing you can redeem is a peri, something which is discernible that you can put your hands on. A Tom is not redeemable, but it doesn't change the din. You have to eat something with Tom Meis or Sheni in Yerushalayim. You have no choice. You must take this fish to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim.
And you can't be potted.
You can't be potted because all you have is Tom. You're stuck. But what about the leeks? So the leeks, it says it's lefi cheshbon. So you have to make a cheshbon how much it's depreciated based on the fish's presence. So halkup over here. This is what it says over here. The Mishnah teaches that the Meiser Sheni leeks do not have to be redeemed for their full price. Rather, a portion of the appreciation is awarded to the chulin fish and deducted from the redemption price. According to Rish Lakish, we understand this because it's identifiable. The fish is identifiable in the leeks because there's Tom of the fish in the leeks, and he goes Basar the Tom. But according to Rish Lakish, that is totally in volume. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that's totally in volume. There's no change in the volume, so why shouldn't it should have been Hakol L'Sheni? The whole volume of the leeks should have been completely redeemed at value. No deduction. That's the question.
So therefore,
fish go to Yerushalayim, leeks get redeemed lefi cheshbon. Okay? That seems to follow Rish Lakish. So the Gemara, Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rav Hashia, tifto b'shabishol shneim ka'achas. Now he's going to change it. The Gemara retracts the understanding. Now, look at 5. It's very tricky over here. It's retracting the original understanding. We're not talking about where you have it separate leaks away from the fish. Rather, we're talking about a case where the fish and the leaks were kept to be together to be eaten as one dish. So the volume of the dish has increased. It's like a very strange increase over here. It's increased because you have more food here. Okay, but that's what it's saying over here. It's increased. As such, the appreciation is reckoned proportionately. So if, for example, the Meiser Sheni leeks by itself were worth 1 sala, chulin fish was worth 2 slalom. After they were combined, it's worth 4 slalom. The value of each component is reckoned proportionately. The original Meiser Sheni is 1/3. And so therefore, the proportion of the increase is 1/3 of a sala. And then you're left with 1 1/3 for the leeks and 2 2/3 for the fish. So together with the sala, the Meiser Sheni, the mixture, the final value, the portion is 1 1/3. And this is the amount needed to redeem the mixture. Okay? That's basically it. Okay. Now, there's one last note here on the bottom here in 5. He does point out one Perish of the same Moshe who says that when it says that they are one, the same Moshe says it only is one if they're inseparable. You can't tell me it's one. If you're looking at a very clear leek and a very clear fish, you can't tell me the fact they're on the same plate makes them inseparable. That when it says bishlon ka'achas, it means they became like one entity. Mushy, inseparable, it disintegrated, whatever.
Nursing home
food, good. Okay? That's the thing. But the Pnei Moshe is the only one that says that, which is unbelievable. Anyway. Next. Rabbi Yoina. Now, this is another interesting thing. This previous thing we just said was Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rav Hoshea, who explained Tiftor b'shabishol shneim kachas. You explaining that they did both at once, right? As one. Now, Rabbi Yonah b'shem Rav Hoshea boy. We're going to ask in the name of Rav Hoshea. Now, he just said the previous statement in the name of Rav Hoshea. So this discussion here is the previous one, Reb Hoshea, and this one is Rav Hoshea, two different people. Or are they both Reb Hoshea, the Amora, and they're both quoting a Reb Hoshea? And what happened was, Reb Hoshea reacted to what Reb Yossi was quoting from him, and Reb Yossi hadn't heard his follow-up comment, but Reb Yonah did. That's the preferred parish.
So why did they change it from Rebbe to Rav?
In which case, you would not. You would be Goris Rav in both cases. Okay. Right. Again, a Girsa change. Maybe they changed it in order to make it make sense. How could he say an answer and then ask on his own answer? They didn't understand this, so they made one Reb and one Rav. Who knows? Akashay for the Ayushami. So he said, let's just pay attention to the question, not worry so much about who said what. Haga Atzmacha, think about it. Think about it. Shabishol Zebef Neyatzmo, Vezebef Neyatzmo, Ve'irvon. What would Rabbi Yochanan say if you cooked each one separately? You did the leek separately, you did the fish separately. And then afterwards you mix them together, right? So what would you say? Would you say that you do it lefi cheshbon? Klum yesh v'dogim elatam kaplotos v'kaplotos elatam dogim. The only thing you have here is fish with the flavor of leeks and leeks with the flavor of fish. So there's no increase in volume, no change in volume at all. There's only a transfer of flavor. So Rabbi Yochanan would definitely rule what? That its whole thing goes to the leeks hakolim l'sheni, right? So why did the Mishnah, the question now is, you have to speak this out also. The Gemara is asking a question. Why, when the Mishnah differentiated between two cases, the two cases that the Mishnah used to bring out this point of whether there is change in the base or not, it went ahead and introduced a new case of challah with wood. Why didn't it stick to the same case? Have a case with the fish with the leeks. If it's together, so then there's a change in the volume. And if it's separate, then there's no change in the volume. And it could have stuck to the same
format.
Same type of food, right? Same format, same type of food. But the Mishnah did not do that. It went ahead and it gave to bring out the point of no change in volume, it used a different case of Esau with wood. So that's the question of the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara leaves that question unanswered. Now we're going to ask other questions. These are a little easier to understand. A lot easier, actually. This is talking about the Vaitchumen. You all know the din Vaitchum. That not only am I not allowed to go out 2,000 amas, my objects that I own, my stuff, like Shamsi says, high level word, my stuff, also cannot go outside the 2,000 amas. Now, what happens if we both own stuff together? So, that is to say, my wife is making a challah. She has flour and she has eggs and sugar. And then Sammy's wife goes and lends her some water and some salt, you know, or whatever. Or it's an or when it says these things, tavlin, or mayim, or melach, it can be any of these. So even if she just lent her some salt, then it's kirag leishtehem. If my wife made a tchum one direction and Sammy's wife made a tchum the other direction, you can't go. It can only go where they both can go. That end product, right?
Where they overlap,
that's all you can do. That's what it says. Now the Gemara is using this as a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is going baser volume. There's no change in volume as a result of the salt. So just like by Maisa Sheni, there's no change in salt as volume. So the Gemara wants to say the same thing should hold true by Tchumen. I don't know, so all of a sudden we made a leap from Maisa Sheni over to the Inyan of Tchumen. But let's just leave that alone for the time being. That's the Gemara's kasha. Got it? That's the kasha. Kasha is, there's no change in volume, yet when it comes to Tchumen, you see it has a chashivas. And the chashivas going to Rish Lakish makes sense. There's a change in taste, right? So the Gemara answers, Tchumen also Lemidas Hadin. We're going to translate it this way. The Lemidas Hadin means monetary. Lemidas Hadin means that when it comes to Tchumen, we go after the monetary value of who owns what. Since she, Mrs. Pleader, owns a monetary interest in this challah, albeit small, it doesn't matter. There is a monetary interest in it. It could be 10 cents. Doesn't make a difference. She owns, therefore, the tchumen has to go after her as well. She has skin in the game, like Shamsi says. Okay. But when it comes to Meister Sheni, of course, Rabbi Yochanan holds it's a different ball of wax, right? Meister Sheni is totally going to be telling you whether there's a volume change. Next. Teda Lecha, we're on 15b1. Teda Lecha Shu Kain. I'll prove it to you. The Tamon Amrin, Avishem Rav Chisda, we have a We have a special Din Baruch Hista over there in Babylonia. They quoted it. The Gemara interrupts for a second, the little side comment. We don't know where it came from exactly, how we know it from him, but this is what Rav Chisda says. Afilu Eitzim. That means that even if my wife borrowed wood from Mrs. Fleeter, so she didn't borrow an ingredient in the actual challah, but she borrowed wood from her to help with the fire, that also has a din that we have to go basar hatchum. Obviously, that has nothing to do with volume, and probably doesn't have anything to do with taste either, right? And yet, she has a skin in the game. It must be it's because she has a monetary interest, because it costs money to... The wood has cost money, and therefore it contributes to the price of the challah, apparently. That's the answer. Savran meimar eitzim evay mamash. The Gemara assumed that there's no physical taste of firewood recognizable in the finished product, and it's governed by the tchum of even the lender, and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's the end of the questions on Reb Yochanan. Now we're going to ask some questions on Rish Lakish.
So the conclusion on the question of Rish Lakish, he answered them all, right?
Reb Yochanan had an answer for all the questions, yes. Well, not really. The last question that we said on Amud Aleph, we said we left it as a question and we didn't answer. We didn't answer that question. I think that's what it said at the top, right? At the top of 15a3 in the English, it says the Gemara leaves this question unanswered. Okay, so there was one question unanswered. In fact, the Gemara Masi simply al Rish Lakish. Let's suppose I have a dish, a cook dish, and I'm adding, and the dish is Meiser Sheni. Okay, so we're talking, let's make a simple tavshil. We have a nice porridge of Meiser Sheni, and then we put in some salt of Chulin. So even though it goes up in value, Hashavach L'Sheni, whatever goes up in value, it doesn't matter. We don't care. It's all Meiser Sheni. That's a Shverkite on Rish Lakish, because he goes off most of the time. That's the question.
That's all that you're adding and giving it to.
That's the question we're asking on Rish Lakish. That's the question. Right? Oh my, it's 9 o'clock already. Okay, I'm sorry. We have to keep going. Sorry, Sam.
No problem.
Take care. Tashal Meiser Sheni, that you put salt in and you say the whole thing goes to Meiser Sheni. So the answer is, Pasul Lab, Shein Tam Shilchay Nikr. So Rish Lakish says, a little bit of a dark terrence, but what he says is we're not talking about where it's significantly added to the taste. It's talking about this is a little change in the taste. Obviously, it increased the value of the porridge, and therefore it must have made some taste difference, but it wasn't significant. And since it's not significant, so we're going to modify Rish Lakish a little bit. Not a little taste difference, but a major taste difference, or a medium taste difference. But a very, very small taste difference would not be enough to sway him over away from the Meiser Sheni.
Sorry, I didn't get it. He's adding salt to the Meiser Sheni, right?
Yes. And it says over there that the whole thing is Sheni. The Shavach is the Sheni. The whole thing is Sheni. So the question was, according to Rish Lakish, it shouldn't be the whole Sheni. The Chulin made a taste change, so we should divide it up proportionately. The answer is, he's saying it's not talking about where it made a significant taste change.
In other words, they're more concerned about what you are aware of than the microscopic differences
For Hatani, now the Gemara's final question is a brisa which seems to contradict both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Tashal Shemaisa Sheni Shetiv Lebetan Shal Chulin. Now, this is exactly like the same case as the previous case, but it has a different sock, right? We just said that the whole thing is Sheni. Now the Brisa says, this Brisa, by the way, a Tosefta, we have the source of this. The previous one, we don't know where it came from. But it says here, Tashal Shemaisa Sheni Shetiv Lebetan Shal Chulin. So here it says, Hashevach Lefi Cheshman. All of a sudden, the Gemara changes the psak. It's Lefi the Cheshman. Then it adds, what's the other way around? The porridge was chulin, and you added a little salt from Meiser Sheni. So it says, Al Yoitzi Meiser Sheni lepidyon. Then you don't take the Meiser Sheni for pidyon, meaning you can't be part of it, apparently. Now, the Gemara's main proof is from the Reisha.
Hold on one second.
Let's take a look. I'm not clear. 1 second. Spices generally do not add volume to a cooked dish, and they don't necessarily add taste to a significant degree. That's the Gemara's assuming now, that you could have neither in this case. You don't have volume, and you don't have taste difference. Okay, because it's just a little bit of spice. So in that case, both according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no volume change, so it should be Hakol Hasheni. And according to it should be Hakol Hasheni. If this spice is Chulin, right? So it should be Hakol Hasheni. And according to Rabbi Shlakish also, there's no significant change in taste. So again, it should be Hakol Hasheni, but yet it says it's Lefi Cheshbon. So it's Shver both on Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shlakish. Okay? So the Gemara answers, Al Daita de Rabbi Yochanan. Talking about a special case where there was an increase in the volume. The spices are identifiable through the volume, and therefore it is Lefi Cheshbon. And I'll dive into Rish Lakish. That we're talking about where it's recognizable. So these are Heche Timsa answers. So it's a little nitpicky over here, but
I'll call it, and that's what it is.
And we'll stop here at the Mishnah. You can still count Myriv. It's 9:04. You can get to one of Esrei. Bid the other.